come and take me to the river. The old and up with the new, the hard reset, my life take two. Oh Lord have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Hey everybody, it's time for Go Yard, and we are glad you're joining us tonight, and we are live in the studio, and I am Mama Mac, and with me, as always, is my famous co-host, and I mean, you're getting more famous all the time, Dr. Angel Falzone, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, and it's so good to be back in the studio. We've done a couple reruns last couple weeks, and we're back live, and it's good to be live
right here. So good to be live.
Right here, in this table with these mics and the whole shebang, and Pete in there, wonderful engineer man. All right, we've got a really interesting show tonight, and this has been a very busy week and a very tragic week for our nation, and we have a lot to talk about tonight, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. All right. In fact, we're going to title this show Handling, that's another one. We're going to call this The Trauma of Tragedy. And really get into this tragedy a little bit and explore some different aspects of it, hopefully. You know, this show is all about hitting a home run in life and making the best of life and what happens in our lives. And all of us worldwide really know about this tragedy that happened early Sunday morning. And so there's just a lot of different opinions and things that we want to talk about. But we really want to talk about the mental health aspects of this. You being the PhD and mental health counselor, we want to talk about how all of our mental health is affected and has been by this tragedy and what we can do to kind of help ourselves a little bit, probably, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a rough time, a rough week.
It really has been a rough week. And, you know, we're broadcasting here out of Florida, and it affected our state specifically. But you're right. It was the tragedy felt around the world.
It really was. Absolutely. And if you're just now joining us, since we are live, you can call into the show if you would like to comment or ask a question. Pete will answer the phone and direct you in to us here in the studio. That number is 727-441-3000. Feel free to do that if you'd like to comment. A lot of people don't like to call, we've noticed in this show, but they will text. And so if you are one of those, you may text us at my phone sitting right here beside me. 727-888-4171 is our Google text number. One more time, 727-888-4171, and that will come to my phone. All right, Dr. Angel. With everything that's been going on, I know that the reactions across, let's say, this nation have been many and varied. And you would think everybody would maybe be on the same page, but in a lot of ways, possibly they're not. But the first thing I think that enters into a lot of people's minds is, oh, wow, I can't go anywhere and be safe. It's like we just had the Paris tragedy. We've had so many different things. Of course, Paris is in Europe, so we feel a little more removed from that. But when a tragedy happens that's in our backyard, like it is here for us in Clearwater, Florida, even though this is maybe a venue that a lot of people would not have gone into, still, it's a public place where there's been mass tragedy.
Absolutely. And unsuspecting,
yes.
Blindsided would be some words that we could go. And it could have happened in any public venue.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, and that's what I think makes us feel a little more fearful.
Right.
You know, where should we go? Is it okay to go? Are we safe?
Right.
Where are we safe? And it almost brings back those feelings of not feeling safe in public.
Exactly.
And not knowing who and when the next target may be.
Right.
What may it be next week, next month, next year? this is this unknown.
I remember them talking about this maybe a year ago. Maybe I'm not sure on my timing here. But in Australia, was a coffee shop, was it, that was shot up or something like that? I may have that wrong. It's been a while. But I remember the comments people made about, my gosh, it's just a coffee shop on this on the corner of the street, you know. And maybe that was someplace in Europe that I'm getting them confused. But at any rate, it's tragedy like this and this kind of violence has taken on a new proportion than we've ever experienced since 9/11 even.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I just think even just recent tragedies, we had a tragedy where a church was
yes,
shot up.
Yes.
We had the government building in California, San Bernardino.
Right.
That happened there. So the school that was shot up in
Charlotte.
Sandy Hook.
Yes.
And we've
absolutely.
There's been many.
A lot of things.
Tragedies.
Yes.
Of epic proportion, I think. And the more it happens, I think the more we start to feel that fear.
Right.
It really barrels down. You know, as I was listening to the news, as probably many of us have been over the last few days, and gun sales are on the high.
Mm-hmm.
People have been buying guns in this last week than, you know, weeks previously. Why are they doing that? Because they're not feeling safe.
Of course, it begs the question, and we don't want to have a show about gun violence or anything like that. But, I mean, even if you would have had a gun on you in that venue or in the restaurant in Paris, when somebody just opens fire.
When you're blindsided, you're blindsided.
That's exactly right.
And that's what exactly this was. It was a huge blindsiding.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was a huge, huge tragedy of epidemic proportions.
Yes.
And it's affected us as a nation and
oh,
us as
has.
A world, and it affects us as humans.
Absolutely, it does. I remember watching the coverage in November. I was actually in San Antonio visiting friends and sitting there and watching the Paris thing and just how that makes you feel on the inside, the fear. And again, that was a public restaurant
and
public
a sporting
concert.
Venue, yeah.
And, right, yes. And then, you know, just unsuspecting. I mean, people don't have any idea what's coming the next minute, you know?
Very much so. And that's kind of the culture that we live in now.
And right.
Whereas, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, that wasn't the culture.
Right.
You know, and I think 9/11 was a huge turning point
it
for
was.
Us here.
It absolutely was.
And what happened with 9/11, absolutely tragic, absolutely blindsiding.
Yes.
But when that tragedy happened, we united
right.
as a nation. We
yes.
came together. It was almost, you know, differences, conflicts, they were set aside on the table because now we became one humankind.
Right.
And feeling that empathy for other humans, of people we would never have met or may have never have known.
Right.
But we all still felt.
And we didn't know what their political views were, all these 3,000 some people that perished in that. We didn't know anything necessarily about them.
And it wasn't about the
victims.
It
wasn't that.
It was about us coming together
yes,
as a nation
was.
And uniting and you standing as a united mm-hmm. front and getting behind this tragedy and all the volunteers and the crisis volunteers that came from all over flooding into New York.
You know,
and
I don't know about you, but I remember feeling such a pride in America that people were firemen. They were running into those stairways and headed up, you know, upstairs. And so many of them perished and all of that. But there was just that natural thing that rises up in people that you want to help each other.
Absolutely.
I saw that in coverage this weekend, didn't you?
Yes.
A lot of people like carrying wounded people out and you know, trying to throw in people in backs of pickup trucks to get them to the hospital. I mean, all of that was good.
That was good. You know, and I was watching on the news again how the blood banks were lined.
Yes.
People were waiting 3 and 4 hours.
Oh, that was
just
amazing.
To donate blood. And that was totally amazing to see how some people came together and united.
So that was a positive thing that happened from this tragedy, that people sometimes, or many people probably realized a new strength that they had within them they didn't think they even had, that they were able to do some of the heroic things that happened.
Absolutely. You know, I think what happens is when we experience something like this on the sideline or and however close we are or however far we are, we feel helpless.
Yes.
And so when we can donate blood, that's something I can
yes.
do that's helping
right.
someone far away or someone maybe even close. But it gives us some power.
Right.
And so that's where we start seeing that helplessness. We're taking control of that and empowering ourselves to do something for our fellow humans.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a good thing. And don't you think that this show is about handling the trauma of tragedy? And this is a positive thing that we can do to handle the trauma is simply get involved, if it means just going to your local blood bank and donating a pint, you know?
Absolutely. And getting involved and reaching out toward humanity.
Exactly.
And that does help build our resilience for this trauma, because it hits home, because it could have been anywhere, anyone, at any time.
Yes.
It's almost like, you know, Russian roulette with how this happens. We never know when and we never know where.
You know, and really, we could be so consumed by fear. And I believe that as this show, Go Yard, hitting a home run in life, we need to really emphasize that we can take a tragedy like this and turn it around, and we can become better people for it.
Oh, absolutely. We can't go backwards and turn the clocks back and have that undone, like so many of us wish we could do.
Right.
It's not within our power. But things that are within our power is absolutely taking our power and reaching in and helping our fellow humans and doing those things.
Yes.
And not letting the fear.
Right.
And not letting our helplessness hold us back and weigh us down, and because they'll bury us.
Oh, depression. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are sinking this week from all of this, don't you think?
They don't want to go out. They don't want to go to their local Walmart and get their groceries, because that fear resonates. It just hits it so hard. Mm-hmm. And so we have to take our power back.
You know, one thought struck me this week, and I haven't discussed this with you before the show. I'm just going to throw it at you right now. It occurred to me that we need to love deeper and care about people more. And be less self-consumed, because who knows how many days, months, years we have.
Absolutely.
This tragedy can propel people to the other side, which we've just been talking about, being a recluse or a hermit or staying in or not ever getting out and doing fun things. But it occurred to me this week as I was watching some of this, it just makes me want to enjoy life more. Makes me want to make the most of my family, my friends, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Our relationships that matter so much.
Because they do matter so much.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we take that for granted. And
right.
I think sometimes we feel like, oh, this is always going to be.
Right.
And it's not.
It's not.
Life is not guaranteed.
And didn't we see that this weekend? I mean, it's some of the stories of people that have just been texting their friend 10 minutes prior to the shooting or whatever, and then it's over, and there's no way to reach these people again. I mean, that is a traumatic part of tragedy, don't you think? I mean, that it shows us how finite we really are, how vulnerable we really are to anything, a traffic accident, a shooting, anything.
Exactly, and what makes something a trauma is that perceived threat of imminent harm.
Right.
And so, like I said, it doesn't matter how close or how far we were from that epicenter. We all, especially as Americans, have that perceived threat happening.
Exactly.
Because it has happened many times, and we never know when and where it will be again. And you're right. Taking it back and not taking our life for granted, not taking our relationships for granted.
Right.
Those are important things that we can pull from such an awful tragedy.
Absolutely. Valuing the family and friends and coworkers and people in our lives. I saw a bumper sticker or something today. I don't know where this was. It said something about hug someone today. You know, or maybe it was on TV. I don't know where I saw it, but I can see the bumper sticker in my mind right now, so it must have been on a car. But so important, and so often we are reticent to express our feelings and care and actually care about whether somebody is okay or they're not okay. And we get so busy in our lives, Doctor. And I think this is one of the things, maybe a positive thing that happens from tragedy, is that we reevaluate. We stop a minute and smell the roses, maybe.
It can do that to us. It can do a lot of things. There's a lot of effects.
And there's negative things, too, that we're going to talk about. But that's a positive
thing. That is absolutely a positive thing. So some of those positives are us reaching out to fellow humans, us taking that deeper look inside and reevaluating ourselves, our lives, our own relationships, and us learning that life is fragile and not
yes.
to take it so for granted so easily.
Here today can be gone tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. And so when we watch this kind of stuff on TV, I'm going to ask you now, as a professional, as a counselor and all that you are, doesn't this affect our psyche, or our emotions? I mean, watching, and I'm sure a lot of people have been glued to the TV for almost a week now.
True.
Several days.
True.
How does this affect us?
Absolutely affects us. So there's something called secondary trauma, and that is where we can experience the trauma and not have ever had the experience of the real trauma.
And seriously, I've never heard that term.
It is. It's secondary trauma. So what's happening is we're bombarding ourselves with the images, with the interviews, with the heartfelt stories.
Yes.
Oh. Everything that's happened with glued into the lives of the victims, glued into what, you know, the person, the terrorist who caused this issue.
There's and been a lot about him and his wife
so,
and everybody.
There's been so yeah. much about all of it, and we just bombard all this negativity. That what's happening is we start to experience those symptoms of trauma ourselves.
Okay.
From over
secondary trauma.
Secondary
huh?
trauma.
Gotta make a note of
you
that.
You know, a lot of therapists have secondary trauma from working with patients that have experienced trauma.
Is that what's wrong with you?
Now you know.
Okay, sorry.
But no, it's a true thing, and that's what kind of happens to us.
Yes.
Is that when we stay too glued to it, we are taking in those very hard feelings into our psyche, and you may start having nightmares. You might feel more resistant to going into public. And it starts to affect us
okay.
in different ways. And maybe ways that you'll notice, maybe ways you may not notice offhand.
Okay.
Some of the things we can do when we're experiencing that is turn off the TV. We need to kind of limit how much exposure we're having.
Right.
I know we want to know. We're an information highway culture these days.
Yes, we are.
But knowing sometimes is hurting ourselves.
It's hurting ourselves, isn't it? Yeah.
And overknowing is definitely doing that.
And, you know, when we see these images, you know, and of course, some of it we didn't see, of course, a lot of it we didn't see, but just the hurting, grieving families and the mother that was going up and down the street looking for her son and all of that kind of thing. It can play with your mind at night and cause you not to be able to sleep very well, too, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And that's that effect from secondary trauma.
Okay.
And so it can affect us in any way that had we really experienced that trauma, we could
wow.
also feel. So it can be very strong to not quite as strong, but there are a lot of effects that we can have just from watching it on the television.
So you're saying it can cause as much emotional damage as almost being there.
Yes.
Especially because I think every one of these situations, Paris, all of them, it tears on your heartstrings, you know? It just like, oh, you just feel so bad for those people, And you can picture yourself sitting there with a gun to your head.
What did they feel?
What did they
like?
Feel
what
right
they
before
thinking?
They were
you
dying?
You do, and we do that.
I mean, don't you think that? So that's what you're talking about, secondary trauma.
That's absolutely where
and
that's
I
secondary.
And I think a lot of people have experienced that this week. I've heard people talk about, you know, oh, I wonder, you know,
I have
how
heard,
that felt.
I have too. I've had
have
many
you?
Phone calls come in, you know, I just can't sleep since it's happened.
Right.
Why can I not sleep? You know, I don't know anybody who died. What's wrong with me? Well, this is what's happening. And so
okay.
one of the things we can do is kind of limit our exposure.
All right.
Yes,
good
we
idea.
Want to know, but sometimes we need to shut it down. And we need to talk about it.
Yes.
Talk about it with our families. Talk about it with our kids. Talk about it with people in
our lives. Doesn't
that
make you relive it, though?
We have to get it out.
Okay.
So we already have the feelings in us.
Okay.
And so when we can talk about it, we're kind of releasing some of that. And it gives us a comfort.
Yes.
When we can come together with a group of people or with someone we love and someone we trust and just kind of process what you're thinking or what you're feeling. And it kind of gets it out and puts it on the table.
Good.
So we
okay.
can leave it there.
Good suggestion.
Otherwise,
okay.
we're taking it in. And then I'll hear people say, well, Dr. Angel, why should we tell our children anything about this? Well, we live in worldwide internet number one. You know, our children are, I probably have already heard.
Right.
And they're going to need accurate, truthful, age-appropriate answers.
Right.
Doesn't mean they have to have all the details.
No.
It can just mean a bad person did something really bad and hurt a lot of people.
Right.
But they're going to know something's going on. And if we're not talking about it with our kids, somebody else is talking about
exactly.
it. They're going to summer camps right now. They still may be in school, depending on where you live in the nation. They're hearing about it.
Sure.
And we need to be able to bring it into the house and at least acknowledge this.
So it's okay to acknowledge it, not hide it.
And give our kids age-appropriate truth answers.
But wouldn't it be best to limit the visuals that they see on TV and on their phones or whatever? Wouldn't that be the best?
If we can do that, that is absolutely, because we don't want our children, and you know, with kids, their brains aren't developed, and so they really experience secondary trauma because this could be them.
Right.
At any time, and they will experience that fear much more strong than an adult will, because they can't reason and rationalize like adults can. And
exactly.
We struggle with it, so their brains really
struggle.
How much
more them?
So
absolutely.
We do want to limit their exposure. Don't have the news on while they're getting ready in the morning or while we're eating dinner. Shut it off.
Right. Yes.
Shut it off.
And make sure you're available to answer their questions, right?
Yes, don't ignore them. If they have a question,
mm-hmm.
if they're old enough to ask the question, they're old
right.
enough for some kind of truthful, age-appropriate answer.
Absolutely.
We can't ignore that this happened either.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people are very uncomfortable talking about it.
Well, it's such a horrific thing.
It is. And it is challenging to talk about, but we have to.
Yes.
We can't ignore it. And that's how we're going to work through this.
Right.
We're going to work through this by limiting our exposure. We're going to work through that secondary trauma by just talking about it and letting our kids share their feelings. Maybe
right.
they're afraid. And let's just talk about how we're keeping, what we do to help keep you safe. Or maybe this is why we have these rules, because we're trying to keep you safe.
Oh, that's good. It's a good way to approach it.
Reinforcing safety for our kids and
right.
what we do to help them feel safe. That's why we lock the doors at night. That's why we don't do this. That's why I'm careful where you go on the internet, because strange people could be there and bad things can happen. It's just reinforcing safety with our kids.
That's a great way. That's a good positive thing that can come from this kind of a trauma, right? And I would say also, just get them away from that TV and get them out and do something outside, go somewhere, do something.
Go do something.
Just so that the children especially don't feel that the parents are running scared or
right.
because that kids feel that from adults.
Oh, yes, they do.
Don't
kids,
they?
We have a line at work that kids have the best detectors, and they can detect anything that's going on with adults.
Really?
And yes, they do. Kids are like straight line, have the best detectors I've ever seen in human beings, and they're very intuitive. And so, yeah,
like
get out.
What age are we talking about?
From little kids. I mean, if you aren't genuine with a little kid, they'll know it right off the bat.
Okay.
Preschool age, they'll know. They're very good detectors inside them, so they know when something's wrong. They know when there's something that's not right. And so we can't ignore it. And yeah, let's get out. Do something. Do an activity. Go enjoy your family. Enjoy your kids.
So try to get your mind off of it. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. We got a whole lot more to talk about in the second part of this show. And there's important topics we're going to discuss, aren't we? All right. So be right back. Don't go anywhere. Call a friend and have them join us on Go Yard today.
All I can say is somewhere down the
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Somewhere down the road you will find mighty arms reaching for you. And they will hold the answers at the end of the road.
Great song.
It was a
you
great
picked
song.
It. Amy Grant. And you know her. And you and I went to a concert of hers a few weeks back. Welcome back to Go Yard. And we're live in the studio. If you'd like to call in, 727-441-3000. If you'd like to ask Dr. Angel a question, or if you'd like to text, it'll come straight to my phone. 727-888-4171 is our Google phone number. And also, this show can be heard again this Saturday and Sunday. We are pleased and thrilled for the last year and a half to be a part of StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And every Saturday and Sunday, this show is played, and right at 12 noon Eastern. So anybody can pick it up and listen. So if you've been benefited from our Go Yard shows, just tell some people about it. And that is 12 noon Eastern on StarcomRadioNetwork.com every Saturday and Sunday. Sunday afternoon, I have the other show that we do, and that is about God. It's about the Word of God, etc., as you know. And this past Sunday, of course, Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and I were on the show. And for the first few minutes, we talked a little bit about this. It was fresh. It had just happened. And we talked about the climate of hatred in this country. And by the way, folks, if you want to listen to that, you can catch it here on TANTALK1340.com. Go to podcasts. And the name of that show is Living the Good Life. And so you can catch that. And, you know, in reflecting this week, Dr. Angel, the trauma of this has, as we've been talking about, maybe some positive things that changes in our lives. But it seems to me that the airwaves are full of negative things about this whole tragedy also. Things that are being said now that were not said back around the Paris tragedy or some of the others. You know, it's a climate more of hatred. It's a climate of, especially against the gay and lesbian and, you know, all that LGBT community. It's alarming to what I've heard, some things that are just absolutely appalling.
I agree with you, and I have also. And I think looking back, as I've kind of reflected some of the other tragedies that's happened across the world, and I think this is one of the first ones in which the victim's lifestyle became on trial.
Right.
And now it was almost where that climate of hate, now this became, oh, well, they deserved it.
Right.
And there's been renowned ministers and people in religious communities, you know, talking about how, you know, this was, you know, they deserved it. This is what you get for what, you know, your choices.
Oh, unbelievable.
All over social media, people have seemed to take a side.
Well, and even if you are one of these out there, audience member, that feels that any of this, as far as the gay lifestyle, is a sin, that's okay. But where do we have the license to hate people that are different than us? And I guess in these other tragedies, it was just kind of a, we didn't know anything about the people and their personal lives, right?
We didn't.
And we didn't know it wasn't a certain segment of society that was targeted. For instance, in Paris in that concert, just, you know, whoever was there, you know, we don't know about their lives. But in this tragedy, it was such a blatant attack on a certain segment of society that it was appalling.
Absolutely. And they the victims were on attack for who they were.
Right.
And agree or disagree, nobody deserves to be massacred.
Oh no.
In that way. No human ever deserves that.
But doctor, I honestly saw it on some late night show the other day where they played some video clips of some pastors in our nation. Mm-hmm. And religious leaders who got on YouTube, and fortunately YouTube pulled them down, these little clips down. But they got on there and said, these people deserve to die. Now this is great. We have 49 less. And they called them awful names.
Yes.
Awful names, pedophiles, etc.
Yes.
And you know, it was just appalling, the hatred that is being allowed to come from the pulpit in some churches across this nation. Of course, not every, by any means.
No, not every.
I think the majority of Americans are loving and sweet people, but there is this climate of hatred.
There is a climate, and
I'm
going to
get off my soapbox a minute and let you talk.
Unfortunately, hatred is very loud.
Yes, it is.
And it almost kind of overcomes a lot of, you know, it gets in your face. And
yes.
So we see it, and it's out there, and it's just horribly sad, first of all. It's disgusting, you
right.
know, as human to human.
Right.
Set faith aside, human to human, no matter who was lost, this is a tragedy. But for some reason, this tragedy has taken that stance of hatred, and very prominent, well-known, well-respected people
right.
in religious communities have had things to say like, oh, well, the Christians, we need to step back and let the homosexuals and the Muslims kill each other. What are we, really?
Yeah, that's just, I heard that too, and that's just horrendous.
That is not an attitude of humanity or
right.
of love for our fellow human beings.
Right, right.
And what has happened is I think it's caused a lot of trickle down and causing a lot of extra harm in this trauma.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's putting trauma on trauma, because now we have a lifestyle, a whole culture of people, LGBT people, who now are becoming more targeted,
right.
Experiencing more bigotry, more hate crimes. They're fearing for their own safety and their community because of what's being spoken across the board right now.
And on the other side of that, we saw vigils of, you could tell, obviously, thousands of people, and they weren't all of the LGBT.
No, not at all.
I always get those initials wrong, but anyway.
You're good.
Anyway, they weren't of that segment of the population, and because there were mothers there, there were fathers there, there were family members, I mean, all kinds of people. And so In a tragedy that should be our nation being so appalled and so sick about this happening in our nation, there is a segment of our society who thinks it's a great thing.
They have praised it.
They have praised it. And honestly, I guess I am on my soapbox, audience, but I am sickened at some of the attitudes that I've seen in the clips that I have witnessed on TV.
It is, it's appalling.
And on Facebook.
It has been appalling. And you know how we started the top of the hour, and we were talking about 9/11 and how that united us.
Yes.
This tragedy has seemed to have this way of division and taking a side, if you know, where it comes to religion and culture. And this isn't a matter of faith. This is a matter of...
This is humanity.
This is humanity.
It's just humanity.
Right.
You know, it's interesting to me, and always has been, that there are such diversity in the world, that mm-hmm. God did not create everybody the same color, nor did he create them all with the same intelligence, nor did he create them all with the same personality. We don't all look alike. Now, there's that one movie, Stepford Wives. Do you remember that
I
movie?
I do remember that.
And that's an older movie, but do you want to tell people what that premise was on that,
the
that
movie? The premise of the Stepford Wives is where the men made all their wives to be robots so that
right.
they could all do what they wanted them to do all the time and look perfect and act perfect
yeah.
and wait and serve on them hand
and
foot.
And it was like set back in the 50s, supposedly. I mean, it wasn't in the 50s,
right.
this movie, but it was about.
Yeah. It was trying to set them back to that culture where they'll just do anything that they're told to do and be just the way that they were trained to be and programmed to be. And it didn't work.
It did not work.
It did not work.
You know, this show's not a show about God. It's about life coaching and about counseling. But it does bear the point. I mean, obviously, God did not create everybody the same.
No, we are not all the same.
And for the person who would argue, well, these are lifestyle choices, well, we don't even have time to get into that. And that's not what this show is about. This show is about the effects of the trauma of tragedy. And I believe the tragedy has been compounded this week, and I would like your comments and your insights on this, by the hatred that is coming out on the airwaves by some.
I absolutely agree with you. And a lot of people have taken to social media to kind of get on the bandwagon. There's been a lot of getting on that bandwagon. I don't know if some people of faith just feel like that's the side they're supposed to take because they identify with the faith system, but there's been a lot of getting on the bandwagon of that hatred and just seeing people that I love and respect face to face in life and hearing these posts that they're putting on, and it's just, wow. No. The hurt that could be, who's seeing this? Who experienced, what's going on? They don't know what their words are doing into other people's lives.
Exactly. And we're not talking about one or two little video clips or one or two posts on Facebook. We're talking about this because it has been very out there this week, and it is appalling and sickening. I mean, if this were, let's say, a few years back in the 60s, and it was a mass slaughter of black folks, let's say, or some person of color, I mean, would they react the same way? I don't know. It's just an interesting insight into our
culture
right now.
Absolutely. And this was a national tragedy. And this
yes,
was
it's
not
a national
about
tragedy.
The victims. This
yes.
is about a horrible person planned and plotted to do a horrible thing.
Exactly.
And that's where it should stop.
And he may even have been a part of that culture.
Could have been.
It sounds
we
like
have
it.
No idea.
But we don't know.
And honestly, that is
it doesn't
not
matter.
About that.
It doesn't
it's
even
about
matter.
The fact that innocent lives were lost.
Absolutely.
At the hands of a monster.
Yes.
There's no
Absolutely.
Other word for that.
Absolutely.
And we have to stop and think, how are my words? What do I need to say my personal opinions out there,
wow.
first of all?
That's
do
right.
Do I really need to put it out there? Because be careful what we put out there.
Because people are affected.
Other people.
You know, there's a verse in the Bible. It's one of my verses I've used a lot as I teach the Word of God. And that's Proverbs 18:21, that words have life. You know, they can be bitter words. They can bring fruit. They can be good words. They can be bad words, you know. And death and life are in the power of the tongue. Okay, that's what that verse is talking about in the King James, you know. And this is what I hear you saying, Doctor, that from the trauma of this, people, we need to be very careful how we affect other people by our opinions of hatred or our opinions of condemnation or
judgment
or trying to make a segment of society feel bad
or less than wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's not even about what you personally believe. Everybody's entitled to believe how they
it's
believe.
It's not about that, no.
But
it's not.
They are not entitled to blast
right.
how we all believe.
Right.
And to hurt people through that. And so I'm just going to challenge, you know, before we make that post, think about, should I be making that post?
Right.
Because, you know, I've worked a lot with the LGBT community and therapy and for many, many years. And I have never heard a person in the LGBT community say, you know what, I'm going to go find that faith because that person blessed me out and showed me the error of my ways and my sin. It didn't happen that way.
Right.
You know what? You want to know your faith? Show them your love.
Show them your love. Absolutely. And I saw that in the television clips of the vigils and people with their arms around each other and the love and people from the and for a moment as I was walking out the door to come to the show tonight, I turned on the TV for my dog and President Obama was talking about this climate of hatred too. And it just reinforced to me that those of us that have a voice, and we have one in this show, in our other show on Sunday, we have a public voice. We have a right and we have an obligation to point out the hatred and try to steer people towards love.
Absolutely.
And acceptance.
You know, love brings healing.
Yes.
Hatred just going to bring more hurt.
Right.
And so do we want to be a conduit of hurt, or do we want to be a conduit of healing? Because that's really what it's boiling down to. So we can have personal beliefs that disagree with lifestyle
it's fine.
Choices,
that's
whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what makes us different.
That's what makes us different, and there's no problem with that.
But in having that, we don't have to cause hurt.
That's right. You know, one of the ways to grow from a situation like this is to learn to forgive people who are different from us. Would you comment on that?
Well, yeah.
That's my personal
opinion. No, I agree with you. And I think that a lot of times I think we have a hard time with people who
are different.
Think or yeah. do something different than what we think is moral or right or whatever. And it can be a part of faith. It doesn't have to be. I think right. we all have some moral, ethical compass that we use in our lives. And when people don't align to that, I think we have a hard time with that. And we think they should think in... act the way we think they should think and sure. act. And when they don't, we struggle with that. And then we start building resentment.
Right.
We start building fear. We start building hatred. And all because they're different.
Right. Exactly.
And so we have to look inside ourselves. We all have prejudices. Every human.
Everybody does.
Has one. I don't care who you are. Know that. Know what our prejudices are. And be aware of that so we can be vigilant not to allow that to cause us to spread hate.
Exactly.
Towards whatever group or whatever it is that we feel prejudiced about.
Right.
I mean, I know people who are extremely prejudiced against anybody who consumes alcohol.
Right.
And,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
It can be anything
right.
that we hold as a value and that anybody who crosses that value, they're wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
But humans are humans, and we are different, and we all have our moral compasses, and we all have things that drive us, and our experiences, and our past, and different purposes, and what my purpose is isn't your purpose, and isn't, you know, another
That's
person's,
right.
and we have to learn to accept people for who they are.
We really do, and because if we don't accept people, and that doesn't mean we agree with
no.
everything they say, do, or whatever. And I want to throw in the definition of forgiveness. And actually, last night at church, I was teaching on this concept. And you can't teach on this enough. Because forgiveness means that you let it go. You
right.
They don't owe you anymore. And they can't make it right. You let it go. And it was a strong discussion last night because there are several verses where Jesus actually says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. That's pretty strong.
It's very strong.
And so as a nation, we must walk in forgiveness toward those who are different than us. Forgive them for seeing life differently or experiencing life differently than we might. You know, if you were born a certain height and a certain color of your skin and the color of your eyes and whatever, back in Nazi Germany, that you would have been really in problems if you did not have that certain combination. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So there has always been this underlying climate of hatred worldwide that we struggle with. I think humanity struggles with.
I think humanity has struggled with that. I agree with you completely.
And it comes and goes. It rises and it falls, you know?
It comes, it goes, and the groups keep changing or
yes.
the actions keep changing.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're right. We go back to the 60s. It was, you know, African-Americans
Absolutely
and people
it was.
Of color. And
yes.
we go back before that, it was women. And we go back
yes.
before that. You know, there's always been groups.
There always have been.
That have been the object of hatred.
And saying that, we're not condoning necessarily somebody's behavior. We're just saying that's them, we're us, and let us all exist together.
Exactly. You know, I tell people, if you think something's wrong, don't do it.
Right.
That's it. That's your power.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't engage in it.
Right.
That's what
yeah.
you get to do. That's where your power lies. Your power isn't to get out there and be the judge and jury for everyone else.
But so many people feel that their opinion must be accepted by everyone else.
And that's...
that's why they rant from the pulpit. I mean, in some of those video clips I've seen this week have been absolutely appalling. And they must think that everybody should agree with them, and therefore they video it and put it on YouTube.
I hear you, and it's sad, and it is a culture. And, you know, I know this isn't a show on religion or faith, but if we even take the Christian faith, it's divided. We have,
of course,
you know,
it is.
Baptists and Catholics
of
and
course.
Pentecostals, and
yes.
they all love the same God
right.
differently. And there's that division within that group, even, that attack each other. We have
exactly.
to stop this. We have to stop this.
We do. We do.
It's okay to love God differently than someone else. It's okay to make lifestyle difference than someone else.
Right.
And it doesn't mean I got to go out and be the judge and jury on what the world is doing or not doing.
You know, God is love. That's the definition, you know, in 1 John. And the fact that that is his nature, his nature is something that a lot of people lose sight of when they get off on the hatred rant, don't you think?
Absolutely, because you can't, love and hate can't coexist.
But we all want to be loved, don't we, Doctor?
We do.
But yet we feel kind of commissioned to hate?
I think it makes us feel better about ourselves. And I think in this particular situation, it may give people a false sense of security.
Explain that.
Oh, ooh. Well, I'm not part of that LGBT community, so this was a specific target for that LGBT community.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to be safe.
Right.
So I'm going to let them know how wrong they are, and this is why this happened, because then it makes me feel like I'm not going to be a target.
That's a good argument, but guess what? All these other tragedies worldwide have not been targeted on a social group of people.
But it can give that illusion of
false
safety.
Yeah, I see that. That's a good argument. Yes. Yes. So, Wow.
The trauma. A lot to think about.
The trauma of tragedy. Trauma. It really is serious.
It's
yes.
huge. And we don't want to compact it. And that's where we need to look and self-reflect. You want to hit that home run in life? You want to go yard? Then we need to start looking at, what am I doing that's negatively impacting other people? Even if I think my purposes are right, I never have the right to hurt someone else.
Exactly. And I think it comes down to the word forgiveness again.
I agree with you.
I mean, we have to forgive people that are different than us for being different than us, mm-hmm. which is absurd in itself, don't you think, Doctor? I mean, really. I mean, but we do need to do that, because so often we feel that we can only love those that look like us and think like us, and if they have a different opinion,
it's kind of, we get threatened by it, I think.
Is it?
And I think it causes a fear. It's that fear of the unknown.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and a lot of people who can spew that hate, it's that unknown.
Right.
And that fear that kind of comes with that. Because the only thing that can fire hate that strong is fear.
Right. Right. Fear is behind. And usually fear is behind anger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hatred and all of that.
And
it's fear.
We can't hit a home run in life. I don't care how good of a life you live and how altruistic of a person you are and how giving of a person you are. You are not going to be living that go-yard life while you are spewing hate into some other person or group or anything.
Right.
We have to watch what our words are.
Absolutely, we
because
do.
Because they do have power.
Our words have power.
And to just think, the words I express have the power to bring healing or hurt to people who've already experienced a horrible tragedy.
Oh, horrible, horrible. The families, the friends of all these lost. And there will be other tragedies in America. There will be, and around the world. We know that.
Unfortunately.
It's just the times that we live in. And can we learn from this? We need to learn from this. And so often when that yuckiness in each of us, you know, the bad attitudes or the resentments or the hatred or the unforgiveness surfaces and we see it, oh, that's me, I'm acting like that. It's time to cleanse that. Let's get rid of that.
Yeah, we do. We need to get rid of that. And so I think we need to reflect a little bit and reflect and hold back on some of those comments that maybe we're making that might be harsh or judgmental,
right,
or could come across that way.
Exactly.
And ask ourselves, is this going to bring someone up or could this put somebody down?
Absolutely. And so maybe it's a good thing that we discuss this openly and honestly and try to encourage our audience to take a step back and watch the judgment, right?
Definitely. You know, and like I said, it's kind of part of the human nature, I think, that we have that judgment part of us. And I think all of us are capable of it.
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely.
It's just, how do we control it?
Right.
You know, and it's learning to allow people to be different, allow people to learn life in their own terms.
You know, as parents and grandparent, me, not you yet, but as parents and grandmother here, it is hard to let our children develop the road of life that they feel that they're to take. You have Anthony over in Alaska now in the Army.
I do.
Okay. And my kids and grandkids, I'm getting ready to have number 11 grandchild. And we, you know, we have opportunities as parents and grandparents to practice this acceptance of the people dearest and nearest to us.
Yes, we do.
And allow them to be who they're going to be. Oh my gosh, look at the time. I didn't realize.
No, you made a good point. And that's where we practice it, is in our homes. And
yes,
I'll tell you, it is not
easy.
Let's
do it.
They're going to make choices you disagree with. They're going to make choices that are, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, you're hurting yourself in the long run. But you know what? We have to let people learn to live life on their terms.
I have lived that with my kids and now some of my grandkids. And it is, that's okay. Let them enjoy their life and live their life and let them make their mistakes.
Yeah, experience as a teacher.
Absolutely.
We you know.
Oh, my, doctor, this has been an intense show.
It has.
And, you know, reflecting back then, let's kind of resist that fear that would try to take over. Let's limit the amount of
exposure
that we, so that we will sleep better, so we will not be so preoccupied with fear and anxiety.
And if you're finding yourself where you're having difficulty sleeping, or you're just feeling, you know, maybe afraid or maybe a little hesitant to go out into public, talk to people, bring it out,
yes,
talk to your loved ones, and just process what you're feeling.
Yes.
And, you know, let each other reaffirm, you know, your love and your family, and look at your relationship. Let's not take it for granted. We are not guaranteed another day.
That was a good summary you just did. We are not guaranteed another day or another moment. And so to live life to its fullest, as you always talk about, doctor, with passion and purpose, that's what this show is all about. And let's do that, and let's let go of those negatives of hatred and judgment, and just allow people to be who they are. And
let's be conduits of healing.
Conduits of healing. Can't say it much better than that, and that's what we want to be. And if you have enjoyed the show and want some others to hear it, then please remember you can hear it this weekend at 12 noon on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. You can also go to the podcast page right here on TanTalk1340.com, and Pete will have it up there within a few minutes. 2 minutes, he'll have the show on the podcast page. So you can hear it again or call a friend and say, hey, you need to go to that website. TanTalk, www.tantalk1340.com. Go to the podcast page for Go Yard, and you can hear the show. And as always, it's been great to be here with you. And we hope this show has helped you and caused you to think about some things, right?
Absolutely. And it's great to be back.
And it's great to have you back. And we are excited about the future. And God bless every one of you. God bless the United States of America. And may we have better days ahead and move forward from all this.
Absolutely.
This has been
Dr. Angel.
And Mama Mac, of course. See you all next week on this show.
Good night.
Good night. But I live twice. I got a new lease on life.